You're listening to the Pastor Tom Podcast, a collection of sermons from Tom Ferguson. Each episode features a message from his time as pastor of New Life Center. And now, here's Pastor Tom.
Matthew 26. Beginning in verse 6. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. She poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." And Jesus understood it. He said to them, "Why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Just for a couple of minutes, I want to share a couple of thoughts that really grab a hold of me when we read this story here. And let's just start at verse 6 and go down here and learn together. It says that they were at Simon the leper's house where this dinner was taking place. They were together and where this event takes place. And one of the things that just touches me at first is, you know, lepers were unclean. Everywhere they went, they had to say unclean. You had to stay away from them. Part of the law was you couldn't eat dinner with them. So obviously, as just Matthew is relating this to us, there's a whole sermon right there, a whole message. As you look at how it starts off, it says, "Now Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper." Obviously, he wasn't a leper anymore. So without even telling you much about it, you know that here he's in the house of a man who's been healed, totally restored. And it's exciting as you just see whose house he's in. Also, if we went to John, the book of John, John 12, he relates this whole story too. And he also adds a little bit to it in the fact that he tells some of the other people that were there. And one of the people, as he relates it, they're at Simon's house here, the leper. And it says, and also, it says that, I'm forgetting his name here real quickly, Lazarus, who had been dead, it says, Lazarus, who had been dead, also was there. And when you see this story, I mean, here they're at a house. Here's a man who was a leper, who was unclean, he was separated from everybody, and now has been restored, and he's here sitting around the table with Jesus. And at the next seat, here's Lazarus, who'd been dead and who's now alive. And one of the things you begin to see that when Jesus went different places, the crowd that met with him were people who had been changed. I mean, here's a man who was dead. Here's a man who was a leper. I mean, Jesus changed lives wherever he went. And when you'd see him meet in a group, I mean, the guests that arrived were people who had miraculous stories. And I guess the thing that's exciting is the fact anytime people gather to worship Jesus, anytime even today, when we gather around Jesus' feet to listen, as we've come tonight, if we had the time, what's exciting is there's people here that could tell stories, just like it starts off telling this story, those that were there as guests. There's people here, you know you'd be dead if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus has came into your life. I mean, some of you, in certain areas of your life, I mean, you know, you're almost like the leper. You were unclean. You were felt like an outcast. And Jesus has restored you. And everywhere Jesus goes and where people gather around him, there's the same testimonies that are told. Once I was dead, now I'm alive. Once I was unclean, but now I'm restored. And it's just beautiful as you see just who was there and the testimonies that they had because Jesus had touched their life. But as you just kind of just jump into the story, there's some things that they're not aiming at, but you catch them right off, that wherever Jesus has been, there's people with testimonies. And it's exciting that that's still happening today. What an awesome group of guests he had there. One that was dead and now alive, one that was a leper and now healed. So he meets here at this house, and the focus of the story is there came one, a woman, having an alabaster box, very precious, full of this perfume. She poured it out on his head. And in John, it says she also poured it out on his feet. I mean, she's just pouring it all over him. And an alabaster box is an almost transparent white kind of marble. Beautiful little jar kind of thing. And it contained this very, very expensive perfume. In John, it tells us a little more about it. It says that it was about a pound of spikenard, which they say was worth about a year's income. So I mean, we're talking a valuable jar full of a year's income worth of this very expensive perfume. And normally they would keep these things around the home, and they'd when guests would come in, because in those days they didn't have right guard and some of those things. When people would come in, they'd put a couple of drops of this spikenard, this very precious perfume. And it was kind of the thing to do for guests. And it would last a long time if you had as much as she had in this jar. But she didn't just pour a couple drops on Jesus when he came in. It was the thing to do for guests. When he comes in, she pours the whole thing out. I mean, she's just pouring this thing. I mean, a year's income worth, down his head, down his feet. And there is this in fervency in her life about Jesus. Obviously, she'd been touched as well. Obviously, her life had been changed. She was one of many who had had the miraculous. Her life was turned around. And when she saw Jesus, I mean, it was like there was no question about giving all. And as she was giving like this, as we read here, as she pours this out, verse 8 and 9, when his disciples saw it, man, there was indignation. They're saying, what a waste. Now, can you imagine? I mean, here's Jesus, and they're saying, what a waste. That's a sad thing for them to be saying, but they're missing the whole point of the thing. They're saying, what a waste, and this ointment could have been sold for much and given to the poor, and they're kind of looking at this real practical. And as you look at this, just their attitude toward, they thought that she was being too lavish in the way she was giving to Jesus, and Jesus corrects them. But I want to just say that when you've been touched by Jesus, it's amazing how you'll give more than the next person in the sense of giving of yourself, giving of your affections, giving of your love to God, your praise. And, you know, things haven't changed much today. There are always still people today that look at you who've been touched by Jesus, and they'll say, what a waste. I can't believe that you go to church as much as you do. I mean, you know, so how many of you 5 years ago would have never gone to church on a Wednesday night? I mean, that was unheard of. I mean, you know, Easter, okay. And if I feel real committed, Christmas as well. But the fact is, I mean, there's something about when you really get touched by Jesus, I mean, going to meet with other brothers and sisters and worshiping Jesus, it's like, it's like you can't do it too much. I mean, it's like for many of us, to not get to come on Wednesday night, we really feel we get gypped. I mean, it's a great time to come and just soak up what God's saying and be in His presence. But there's still people saying, you know, what a waste that you would, you know, waste all that time going to church. People still looking at us saying, you know, if you would, you know, you tithe, and they go, what a waste. I mean, give a couple of dollars, but a tithe. I mean, for the work of the Lord, I mean, let's not overdo it. There's still people that don't understand when people give lavishly toward God, whether it's praise, whether it's attendance at church, whether it's giving your money. I mean, there's people that come in here a lot of times, and they see people raising their hands and clapping to Jesus, and it's like, whoa, fanaticism. I mean, to them, it just does not make sense. And, well, you know, I'm not for emotionalism, and I'm not for fanaticism, but when somebody's been touched in a genuine way, I mean, I wish we had time for people to share their backgrounds, people that were, I mean, alcoholics and people been in drugs, marriages that were wrecked, and God restored them, and God has healed people. People are here today that would have been dead if God hadn't healed them. I mean, there are genuine, real testimonies that can be, you know, you can go to the doctors and find out that it's true. I mean, there's been some real things. But when people have been touched by the power of Jesus, meeting the real Christ, it's amazing how, rather than having to try and work it up and say, well, let's clap and let's raise our hands and kind of, you know, crank it up. It's not a crank-up kind of thing. It's like you can't hardly hold them back. I mean, it's like, let's praise. I mean, people are going, right on. I was hoping you were going to get around to that, you know. And we want to love Jesus with all of our hearts because He's made a difference. And that's the difference between religion and relationship with Jesus, isn't it? When it's a relationship, it's not like, you know, it's not like you feel like, Lord, I can't give enough. So often, especially on Sunday mornings, we don't have as much time to worship because we've got three services. People are always saying,
Boy, why did you cut off the worship? I was just getting started. Just telling God how good he's been to me all week long. It's like, you know, I mean, there's that feeling, people not feeling like we just got enough time to worship, enough time to praise, enough time to love on one another. And so, but what we hear here is still happening. People still thinking, you know, don't get too much into this. Well, if it's just religion or it's just church, then I would agree, but we're not talking about church here. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a person named Jesus who's our Savior, who's real. He's alive, and he's touched our lives. But it's interesting, as you see, this lady who'd been touched by God pouring out her love toward him in a lavish way to her. You know, I wish I had two of these big jars, because he is worthy to be praised. And the disciples somehow were missing that, and they were critical. Well, her love was excessive, it was extravagant, and she gave in a way that was just kind of awesome. And the interesting thing here is that Jesus says here in verse 13, he's so impressed with this kind of love, a love that doesn't hold back, a love that gives to the deepest measure you can give. Verse 13, he says, listen, wherever this gospel will be preached in the whole world, I want this story to always be told for memorial for this woman. I mean, and, you know, that it got right in here. I mean, he said that. It got written down in Matthew, and it got written down in John. And for the last 2,000 years, as people read the Bible, one of the people they read about is a lady who they thought wasted this valuable perfume. And he's saying, you can't call that waste. That this kind of giving, he says, is the thing that touches the heart of God. That's why when God says the first commandment above all of the commandments is love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. I mean, what God wants is our affections. That's why he created man. He wants us to love him with everything that was within. And when this lady gave in that kind of extravagant way, it touched the heart of Jesus. And he's saying to them, listen, don't put her down. I mean, this touches my heart. And I want this story told as long as the gospel is preached. And so it's important for us to see that. And I think this the heart of the message that touches me is God wants me to realize that if I'm being touched by Jesus in a real way, my giving of praise, my giving of myself in service. I mean, I just watching some of these ladies that are serving here, they're giving themselves, and they're really, and they're giving of themselves to these girls. I mean, they're serving, and it costs them. They prepare. They're not getting to sit just and enjoy a service. They're working hard. But when people begin to give of themselves in service, they give of their finances, they give of everything they have, that's the kind of thing that touches God, and we see that here. It touches Jesus. One of the things that I think I always have to look at it, I think, Lord, I remember when I was first saved, how I was almost radical, Lord. I mean, I just was so happy for what you did for me. I couldn't tell people enough. I couldn't do enough for Jesus. And I wonder right now, we just need to stop and take inventory. Are you as excited and fervent for Jesus? Are you given to the same measure you did when you were first saved? There's a church in Revelation that had begun to kind of taper off. And Jesus says to them, he says, you're doing good, but he says, I got one thing that I want to remind you of. He says, return to your first love. What's he saying to them? He's saying, listen. He's saying, I want that fervency you had at the beginning. I don't want your love. And it's the love he wants. It's not wanting just activity. He doesn't want just busyness. He wants to know our hearts are overflowing with love for him. And it'll show in the way we give. I really believe you can measure your love for Jesus, by the way, you're giving of yourself, you're giving of your love to people, of just every area of our life, the way we praise the Lord. At least, Jesus in another place is a very similar story, but this was different. This lady, there was a lady that came and began to wash his feet with her tears, and she took her hair and she was washing off his feet, and the Pharisees were there and going, doesn't he know that she's a sinner? Why would he let her do this? And they're just putting her down. And Jesus says, you know, to whom much has been forgiven, there's much love. And he says, this lady's been forgiven much, and she loves much. She loves more than you guys. They were self-righteous. They didn't think there was anything that, you know, that they had ever done wrong. She was aware of what God had done for her. And I guess the thing that in my life, I don't want to ever forget what God did for me. Do you? I mean, he has done a lot. And you know, sometimes as our life begins to get cleaned up and we begin to get a little more religious, we tend to forget how we would have nothing at all if Jesus hadn't touched our life. I mean, and even at our very best, the Bible says man's righteousness is his filthy rags. I mean, I wouldn't stand a chance to go to heaven if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. I begin to think of it, just the goodness of God toward my family and my life. I need to not forget that Jesus took me out of the gutter, and he took you out of there too. We're all sinners. There's none good, no, not one. But God needs to remind us of where he's brought us from. We forget that after we've been sometimes walking with him a while. We forget how gracious he was. I don't want to ever forget that. I want God to remind me all the time of his great love toward me. I want to be a person who doesn't forget that, because when you begin to forget what God has done for you and your family and your life, well, you have a tendency to not give to the same degree. But this lady had not forgotten at all what God had done for her. And there was this lavish giving, this tremendous giving of love. And the thing, I guess, that we see here is this: how it pleased Jesus, how it pleased him, and how he says, it's not going to be forgotten. I mean, this is going to go down through history. Matter of fact, look at Hebrews 6 with me for a moment. Hebrews 6, just a great verse that talks about how your acts of love, those things that are really motivated out of love, are never going to be forgotten. This is a favorite verse of mine. Hebrews 6, verse 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and what? Labor of love." I love that. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." He's saying when you've labored in love, he says God is not unrighteous that he'd ever forget that. Something about it, he writes that down. He had this lady's act of love written down. And I just want you to know, you're never going to find the Lord ever forget the acts of love and the giving that we give. And it's an important thing for us to see. So sometimes when we think somebody next to us is fanatic because they're doing so much more than we are in an extravagant way, someone once told me this, that sometimes what we call fanaticism is just the fact that that person loves Jesus a little more than we do. Sometimes that's the definition of someone who we might tag fanatic. Someone really is just maybe more in love with Jesus than we are because of the lavish kind of giving. And so I believe we can measure our love by our giving. And that just challenges me, because I love Jesus with all my heart, but I don't want to ever forget what he's done. And I want to stay with that kind of fervent love. I don't want him to ever say, "Tom, you've left your first love. The way you loved me years ago, you don't love me now." And that can happen as we forget what he's done and how far he's brought us. Let's, for a moment, let's just bow our heads and thank him. Would you just thank him? Just for a moment, say, "Lord, thank you for what you have done in my life. Thank you from where you've took me, Lord. I was, Lord, lost and undone, and you, Lord, salvaged my life. Lord, you've restored me. You've given me a new life. And Lord, we thank you for that. We're gracious to you, Lord God. We're grateful, Lord, that you have, Lord, touched our life. May we never forget that. May we, Lord God, be people who give, Lord, to you, Lord, and never hold back. Lord, we can't outgive you. We can't, Lord, ever pay back what you've done. But Lord, thank you that we see this story of a lady who was misinterpreted by even your disciples because she gave in such a, Lord, extravagant way. Lord, extravagant giving, extravagant love. But Lord, that's the kind of love you deserve. And it went down in Matthew 26 for the world to read about it for the last 2,000 years. Lord, may we, Lord God, extravagantly be givers toward you, to your ministry, to those around us. May, Lord, we do that because of what you've given to us. You gave, Lord, first of all, extravagantly. Father in heaven, you gave your best. You gave Jesus to die on the cross. And you've never stopped giving that kind of way. Help us, Lord, to be a reflection of your kind of love and give that kind of way, in Jesus' name. Just for a moment, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, God just reminding us to be people who never forget his extravagant love toward us and give that way in our own lifestyle. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a moment, there may be some of you here tonight who really don't know Jesus in a real personal way. As of yet, you've really not been touched by his goodness and his love. And I just want to say to you that whatever you're going through, whatever you've whatever you've done, whatever you've failed at. He loves you in spite of whatever you feel like you've done that would make you unworthy. God loves you. He even himself said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call the sinner. And we've all sinned. We've all failed. But there's always two kinds of people in any service. There's people who have sinned who are forgiven. There's people who have sinned who haven't been forgiven yet. And I just want to give an opportunity to anybody here who you say, I'm a sinner too, but I'm not sure I'm forgiven. I don't know if I died tonight, if I meet Jesus. I really don't know where I'm at. I don't know if I'm right with God. Well, I want to just say to you this. The Bible says very clearly, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive them. So number one, we need to confess. We need to say, God, I'm a sinner. You need to tell Him. Secondly, it just says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's something about calling out, saying, God, help me. He'll never turn you away. There's also a verse that says that we need to repent, which means we need to be willing to turn from the things that we've been walking in that are wrong and say, God, I'm willing to go the right direction. Just give me the help and the strength. If you're willing to say those kind of things to God, I'm telling you right now, He'll wash you and make you clean. He'll give you a new life. He'll come to live inside you. But you've got to take the first step. You've got to say, God, I need your help. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to invite everybody to pray it with me. Especially you that are here saying, I don't know where I'm at, but I want to know. I want God's help. You pray this with me right now. Pray it to God. He's listening. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I do need your help. And so I call on you. Forgive me, Jesus. Wash me and make me clean. Remove the guilt. Come into my life. Give me power to live the right kind of life. From this moment on, I choose to follow you. I choose to turn my life over to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you love me enough to die for me when I was in sin. Thank you, Lord, that you hear my prayer now. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me just say this, that if you call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you, out of your heart, are calling on Him today, He won't turn you away. He's reaching out to you right now to wash you and cleanse you and to put His Spirit inside you to give you new life. I just want you to encourage you that He hears you when you call out of sincerity and honesty. And I just want so many of you that would be calling Him right now for the first time to know that He listened and He's responding. Matter of fact, He wants to save you more than you want to get saved. So know that He'll respond to that kind of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just say one more thing. Jesus said this, if you're ashamed of me in front of man, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father. But if you will confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. Let me do one more thing before we just look around and before we go. Let me just say this. My eyes are open right now, and I'm looking out across the audience. And I just want to give you an opportunity. If you made the decision for Jesus, He said, if you'll confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. It's important for a person who's saying yes to Jesus to be able to say that to somebody. He says, if you'll confess me before man, I just am standing here and I want to give you a chance to be able to tell somebody, tell me, saying, this evening I'm accepting Jesus. By raising your hand, you're not joining our church. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want you to be able to have an opportunity to confess Jesus before man. And so with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many just need to slip their hand up and say, Tom, I'm getting my life right with Jesus tonight. I prayed that prayer. I didn't know where I was at with Jesus, but tonight I'm giving my life to Christ, and I'm not ashamed to say I'm doing that. I'm looking in the balcony at the moment, and there's three, four, five hands that I can see right now. A couple more. Just put it up and back down. But I'm looking in the balcony right now. I thank God for honest people that are saying, I prayed, and I'm not ashamed of that. I confess Jesus. He's my hope of salvation. I'm looking down here on the main floor. Already there's a couple hands up. How many just need to put their hands in over here? Stepping back down. Thank God for people that are saying yes to Jesus. Yeah, and here. Praise the Lord. I hear you tell you, God sees your hand. He heard your prayer. And I just believe He's turning to the Father and saying, Lord, not only did they pray, but they confessed me. And I confess them before you, Lord. Anybody else just need to say, tonight I'm getting things right with Jesus. Back there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for people that are saying yes to you. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in their life. They're not going to leave here, Lord, with guilt, because you've said that, Lord, when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Thank you, Lord, for removing the stain of sin in our life. And Lord, I pray right now that you would come and help them and let them know that they know in their heart that you've heard their prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.